Welcome to day 131 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards, and today we begin looking at the Eighth Commandment. Westminster Shorter Catechism question 73 asks, which is the Eighth Commandment? The answer, the Eighth Commandment is, thou shalt not steal. The identical question in Westminster Larger Catechism 140, and the footnote is Exodus 20:15. Now let me take a break here for a little bit of trivia. You'll notice Westminster Shorter Catechism question 73, the footnote is letter I, then Westminster Shorter Catechism question 74, which immediately follows, and as we've experienced so far looking at the commandments, each are divided into the duties required and the sins forbidden of each commandment. So question 74 comes right after question 73 in the Shorter Catechism, says what is required in the Eighth Commandment, and the footnote is letter K. So you might ask, why is it letter K comes after letter I? And the answer is there's no letter J. I don't know if you've noticed that in 130 days of footnotes, as they continue to sequence through the alphabet, that there has never been a footnote letter J. Here's another interesting point of trivia. If you'll scroll down to Westminster Larger Catechism question 141, you'll see that it too begins with letter K. And if you go to frugality, letter T, the next one is avoiding unnecessary lawsuits, letter V, and you'll say, well, what happened to letter U? Or perhaps you've noticed in the last 130 days that there has never been a footnote letter U. Now, this has to do with, I believe, I've never seen this actually explained, but I believe it has something to do with the fact that the Westminster Assembly, they all not only knew their Greek and their Hebrew, but they knew their Latin, and they're doing the numbering of the footnotes in Latin, and there's some kind of relationship between I and J. I never took Latin in school, so I don't know, but I and J and U and V are sort of duplicative. So they can substitute one for each other. So instead of confusing people with I and J and U and V, they just use one or the other. In this case, I, no J, and V, and no U. So I'm, you know, as I prepare these blog posts, I've got to go through these footnotes and to make sure they all come out sequenced like they are in the original, and it's kind of a task. But it's interesting here, I thought, that both the Shorter Catechism, I mean, look at question 141 of the Larger Catechism begins with K, and question 142 we'll see tomorrow begins with the letter Y in the footnotes. I mean, it starts out with letter Y. It's not like each question starts out with A and then goes on there. They're going all the way through, just one after another, and they just keep wherever they end up in the alphabet in the previous question is where they start on the alphabet in the next question, of course, skipping J and U. So I thought it was interesting that the Shorter Catechism, question 73, which is, you know, of course, numbered sequentially but independently of the Larger Catechism, and the Larger Catechism question 140, both of which are the identical question, which is the Eighth Commandment, coincidentally both end up with footnote I. And that kind of thing interests me. It probably doesn't interest you at all, so let's go ahead and get right into the meat of the lesson. And that's the requirements of the Eighth Commandment. The Shorter Catechism, question 74, says, what is required in the Eighth Commandment? And answers, the Eighth Commandment requires the lawful procuring and furthering the wealth and outward estate of ourselves and others. Here are the proof texts, Genesis 30:30, for it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased into a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide for mine own house also? The story, of course, is Jacob laboring for Laban, and wondering when he gets to start building his own household instead of just working for Laban. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Leviticus 25:35, and if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Deuteronomy 22, starting at verse 1, thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know not him, or know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. In like manner shalt thou do with his ass, so shalt thou do with his raiment, and with all lost thing of thy brother's, which he hath lost and thou hast found. Thou shalt do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. And verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. And I have no idea why that verse was included. It seems like only verses 1 through 4 should have been included, but that's what's in our edition of the Catechism, so we've included it here. Exodus 23:4. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldst forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. And Genesis 47:14, Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money unto Pharaoh's house. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. And the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. So those are the verses used to defend the proposition that the Eighth Commandment requires the lawful procuring and furthering the wealth and outward estate of ourselves and others. The larger catechism, of course, gives us more details, asking in question 141, what are the duties required in the Eighth Commandment? Answer, the duties required in the Eighth Commandment are truth, faithfulness, and justice in contracts and commerce between man and man, rendering to everyone his due, restitution of goods unlawfully detained from the right owners thereof, giving and lending freely according to our abilities and the necessities of others, moderation of our judgments, wills, and affections concerning worldly goods, a provident care and study to get, keep, use, and dispose those things which are necessary and convenient for the sustentation of our nature and suitable to our condition, a lawful calling and diligence in it, frugality, avoiding unnecessary lawsuits, and suretyship or other like engagements, and an endeavor by all just and lawful means to procure, preserve, and further the wealth and outward estate of others as well as our own. Okay, let's start with the first one. The duties required in the Eighth Commandment are truth, faithfulness, and justice in contracts and commerce between man and man. You know, I think maybe when we think of the Eighth Commandment, we think thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not do bad things economically to others, but the duties required in the Eighth Commandment are substantial, and this includes the whole realm of economic activity should be honest and true and faithful. Psalm 15:2, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. In other words, makes a contract and performs. Zechariah 7:4, then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, nor the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Zechariah 8:16, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And we have some extra study things to look at there. Our Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, says that no state shall make any law that impairs the obligation of contracts. And, of course, that has been done in spades since the Constitution was written. And there's three articles there that discuss how contracts can be impaired on a social-wide, society-wide basis. And it's a very important subject. And the Westminster Larger Catechism deals with a very important subject. Next is rendering to everyone his due. Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Restitution of goods unlawfully detained from the right owners thereof. Leviticus 6, starting at verse 2, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or hath found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these that a man doth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all of that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. We're told by the Westminster Assembly to compare this with Luke 19, verse 8, And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Restitution, another big subject. Here's some more items you can look at to learn more about the idea of restitution. Right now, if someone steals from you, then he's put in prison and the government steals more from you to give him weights and a color TV and three hots and a cot and so forth while he's in prison, but he does not restore that which he took from you. So there are some articles here on how our social, our penal system should be based on restitution rather than on some kind of simple punishment, but restitution of goods that were taken from the offender to the victim. The next one is giving and lending freely, according to our abilities and the necessities of others. Luke 6, verse 30, Give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. 1 John 3:17, But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Ephesians 4:28, Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And Galatians 6:10, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We're trying to keep it down to about 10 minutes a day. I think, hopefully you agree with me, that we could spend at least 10 minutes on each one of these items because they're all very significant and powerful and very relevant to our society today. And there's much more to come. We'll be back with more tomorrow on day 132.